The Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 11, I'll read just the 13th verse. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. So far the reading. Our reading begins with these words, these all died in faith. We're breaking into the middle of a context here. Hebrews 11 is, of course, the famous Heroes of Faith chapter. It holds before our eyes the exemplary faith of many Old Testament believers. In the verses leading up to our reading, the writer of this letter had discussed the list of Old Testament believers. He began with Abel, son of Adam and Eve, whose faith in the promises of God made his sacrifice acceptable to God, even though he became the victim of the first act of violence of one human being upon another. Then he went on to Enoch, whose faith in the promises of God led to his translation out of this life and into the next without passing through the door of physical death. And then on to Noah, whose faith and obedience to the word of God led to the deliverance of himself and his family in the days of the great flood, and then to Abraham, whose faith in the promises of God led him to leave his father's household and to go to the land that God would show him, and then to Sarah, who in her old age believed the promises of God, gave birth to a son, and thus became the ancestress of the line of promise, culminating in the coming of the Savior. And then, before he goes on with a further description of Old Testament faithful, the writer included the words of our reading, these all died in faith, not having received the promises of God, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. They believed the promises of God, the promises concerning the seed of the woman who would crush the head of the evil one and free humankind from sin and death. They believed the promises concerning the seed of Abraham who would bring blessing to all the nations of the earth. And they lived out their days and departed from this world without receiving the fulfillment of the promises of God. They didn't live to see the coming of the one who would make good the promises of God and provide redemption from death and alienation from God. The writer says that they saw those promises afar off, and in anticipation of fulfillment, they were assured of the truth and the certainty of God's promise, and they embraced them as their very own. Their faith connected them to this chain of ideas made up of many links. They believed even without receiving the promises, but they saw the fulfillment of the promises from afar, at a great distance, and they anticipated what was to come. They embraced what was to come in hope, and they confessed that as far as their relationship with this world was concerned, they were strangers and pilgrims, not permanent residents, and they died and left this world. It was from the example of these people that the writer of this letter to the Hebrews developed his well-known definition of faith, that definition which stands at the beginning of chapter 11. I recall learning this definition as a child from the old King James Version and being rather perplexed and baffled by it. This is probably because of the fact that as a child I lacked the capacity to deal with the concept of paradox. Listen to the famous definition of faith from Hebrews chapter 11. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Some of the more recent Bible translations avoid words like substance and evidence in the interest of clarity, but I think in so doing, they ruin the concept of paradox that we find there. Think about this. In this definition, substance is linked to what is hoped for, and evidence is connected to things not seen. But now, if something has substance to it, then it is not in the category of things that are just hoped for. If something constitutes evidence, then it cannot be unseen or invisible. It must, by its very nature, be subject to examination by the senses, particularly the sense of sight. Otherwise, it's not evidence. And so the definition is seemingly self-contradictory, even absurd, we might say. But here we have a true paradox, a statement that seems to be self-contradictory, but in reality expresses a great truth. The relationship of the faithful to God and his promises is expressed in these terms. They die in faith, not receiving the promises of God in substance or as tangible and evident things, but rather they see them, so to speak, from afar, as one envisions a hope, and they anticipate having in reality that which cannot be grasped by the senses, particularly the sense of sight. In the meantime, they live as strangers and sojourners, people who are seeking a homeland, a place of permanent residence in which they have not yet arrived. They seek a better heavenly country, unlike the one in which they now live for a time, a country where sin and the wages of sin are continually in evidence and seem to prevail. Our gathering here in the college chapel, in the midst of our academic pursuits, is similar to the confession of the heroes of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. They confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth, wanderers in search of a better country. We involve ourselves here in a striking paradox. We pursue an education. And one way of speaking of the purpose of that education might be this. We are striving to acquire a sense of being comfortable and very much at home in this world. We pursue understanding in various fields to give us confidence that we can make sense out of things. We can feel at home in the world and make comfortable and meaningful lives for ourselves. And then we come to chapel and we sing, "I'm but a stranger here. Heaven is my home. Earth is a desert drear. Heaven is my home." And from my vantage point up here in front, at least, the singing sounded like you meant it. Some might say, how does this make sense? Do you want to be at home here, or don't you? Make up your mind. But is this not a part of the very nature of this very liberal arts education that we pursue? We vigorously study every aspect of life in this world, and we learn to make our way here. And then we say with the faithful of all ages, we're just strangers here, making our way to an eternal home which God will provide and show us, and to which he will finally bring us by his grace. We walk in faith, not having received the promises of God, but seeing them afar off. We anticipate them and embrace them and confess our hope with the faithful of all ages. I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. And blessed are you in that faith and hope. Let us join now in the singing of the great penitential psalm, Psalm 130, as in the manner indicated in the worship folder. Please rise.
Out of the depths I have cried to you, O Lord. should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand?
Yeah.